When running a business, HR issues can be a real problem. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/getup right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/getup, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/getup. It is time to begin hour number two on Get Up This Morning with Dak and a deal in Dallas expected to happen today. Why now? What does it mean? Shefty is here with all the answers. And quarterback questions. Two Super Bowl QBs are available. Will either of them wind up on a roster by the end of this week? We'll get to it. Plus, NBA players have understandable concerns about COVID, but our insider has offered a simple phrase that suggests they will be playing. You'll hear that and more as we get up with you for this hour, starting right now. Mike Greenberg in Bristol with you this morning. And as I said right off the top of the show, I would have loved to have started with any of those today, and we certainly will get to them all. But we begin with an absolutely despicable story coming from the world of NASCAR, where in this developing story, a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage stall at the NASCAR race in Talladega, Alabama, yesterday, less than 2 weeks after Wallace led efforts to push NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag. NASCAR announced the news last night, well after the race had been postponed due to inclement weather, and said it was launching an immediate investigation. Here was their statement. Late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. As we have stated unequivocally, there is no place for racism in NASCAR, and this act only strengthens our resolve to make the sport open and welcoming to all. Wallace himself tweeted a statement last night which read in part, "Today's despicable act of racism and hatred leaves me incredibly saddened and serves as a painful reminder of how much further we have to go as a society and how persistent we must be in the fight against racism. As my mother told me today, they are just trying to scare you. This will not break me. I will not give in, nor will I back down. I will continue to proudly stand for what I believe in." Our Marty Smith is covering this for us in the scene in Talladega. He joined us an hour ago.
The noose in Bubba's garage stall was actually seen by a member of his team. Daryl, Bubba, never saw it. He never saw it personally. And when that team member saw it, he alerted NASCAR. And NASCAR immediately had a meeting of its senior executive staff. And they made the decision that they were going to remove this person from the sport as quickly and rapidly as possible. This was not a situation where a fan might have meandered in and done this because there were no fans in the garage. So what you're looking at is you're looking at team members, you're looking at officials, you're looking at potential security, you're looking at maybe cleaning personnel that have access to these garage areas.
Again, that was Marty Smith with us earlier. LeBron James, among many who posted messages about this, he tweeted, "Sickening at Bubba Wallace, my brother. No, you don't stand alone. I'm right here with you as well as every other athlete. I just want to continue to say how proud I am of you for continuing to take a stand for change here in America and sports. At NASCAR, I salute you as well." Sprint Cup driver Michael McDowell added, "God help us. The level of evil it takes to do something like this is disgusting. This is enraging and heartbreaking all at the same time." Dale Earnhardt Jr. tweeted simply, "I hope Bubba wins it tomorrow." Again, the race will be run today. It was delayed by weather yesterday. And as I bring Stephen A. and Marcus into the conversation here, I'll repeat that the area in which this was discovered, there were cameras all over. It should be a relatively easy investigation for the NASCAR officials to conduct, and we are standing by for any information live from Talladega. Marty Smith will bring us anything as soon as there is any further news. With that thought in mind, Stephen A., we've not yet had a chance to say good morning to you. I just want to give you the floor here. What are your feelings and thoughts as we see this story develop from last night?
Well, I mean, I think that for me personally, I'm a little bit different than the kind of sentiments that have been expressed by a lot of people, because obviously you find this reprehensible and disgusting, and it's incredibly sad, and we get all of that. But there's, forgive the figurative smirk that might end up, covering my face or draping my face, because to me, it's just folks displaying their ignorance. And the more they put it on display, the more it enlightens a lot of people in white America about what black America has been telling them about for so many years, decades spanning centuries, for crying out loud. This is not new. This is something that we've known existed for a long time. This is something we know will continue to exist. And there is no way around it. And so there comes a point in time where you have to accept that reality. One of the things that I would encourage everybody to go watch, if you get an opportunity, you can go on Netflix and you can watch that documentary, 13, by Ava DuVernay, along with others, who did a sensational job of addressing mass incarceration in the United States of America. And one of the things they highlighted is that under the Nixon administration, where you're literally talking about, white folks that are hippies, and you associate them with marijuana, and you associate black folks with crack cocaine. And as a result, that will ultimately galvanize folks in your favor, because they'd be scared to death and you'd be hearing words like law and order ad nauseum. That was in the 60s, for crying out loud. We're in 2020 and we're hearing the same thing now. You just have to open your eyes. You have to pay attention to the parallels. You have to pay attention to the correspondence that's taking place right before your very eyes. Throughout our history, we have had people that have been adroit at laying low, in controlling the narrative, manipulating the narrative, switching things to their favor, all in an effort to maintain or to retain power. It's the kind of thing that has been taking place, and usually they've been incredibly skilled at remaining in the dark and saying, it's them, it's not us, it's them, it's not us. Well, guess what? Things are coming to light more and more in this day and age. I find that a cause for celebration, not a cause, to be saddened by anything. I find these to be incredibly beautiful times. As difficult as it may be, the fact that our nation appears to be becoming more enlightened than ever before, and ultimately as a result, we're coming together, I find that to be a huge plus, not a minus. And if the ignorance has to showcase itself, and if the ignorant has to showcase themselves in order for this to happen, coming out of the dark, to me, that's a cause for celebration.
Marcus?
I'm right there with you, Stephen A., and that's what I alluded to earlier, man. Just come on out. Show us who you are so we know how to deal with you, and everybody that's for right knows how to deal with you. Listen, this is there has been we've been having this conversation for a long time. I mean, we had this conversation when Cap kneeled about police brutality. We talked about race and all of that. And, man, if you look around and social, there were people literally on Twitter last night saying Bubba Wallace did this for attention. What are you talking about? Like, it's not unfathomable that someone could do that. We saw Jesse Smollett, and I'm make reference to that because people can conjure up things to create narratives to make people overreact. That's why I said earlier, G. And Stephen A. I'm not, dude. This emotional roller coaster, I'm getting off of it. Right? Like, I'm nuts and bolts to what's going on. There is progress that needs to be made in this country. I'm focusing on that progress that needs to be made. That's what Bubba Wallace is focusing on by making his statements in NASCAR. That's what a lot of athletes are focused on. A lot of people in society in general are focused on making sure that we draw a line between racist people and people that want good for everybody. That's the bottom line. So look, for as much as this is egregious and the things that have transpired for a long time, look, I grew up in the South. Like, it ain't uncommon for me to see racist people or know what it looks like, or even be surprised or shocked about certain things that tend to happen. The bottom line is this: I'm off that emotional roller coaster. Like, if you're racist, Just be that. Come out publicly and be that, and let's separate that and you be a part of the minority part of society that we want to get to and we think we already are at. So all of that being said, I'm with Stephen A. Like, it is bringing a lot of people to the light, and the hateful ones are fighting their battle because they see it slipping away.
Well, you're not going to hear me say this very, very often, but I want to give major, major kudos to a lot of white folks out there in America, because if it wasn't for them protesting and marching with black individuals, if it wasn't for them, you know, engaging in a kind of you know, resistance to whatever level of oppression we as black people have been feeling in this nation, I don't think some of these white folks would be coming out. I mean, listen, back in the day, they used to wear the sheets and used to cover their identity and their faces, and we didn't know who the hell they were by virtue of that. Now, some black people, a lot of black people will tell you they exist in corporate America. They could be the very people that you're working for, the very people that you're talking to. I happen to be blessed. We happen to be blessed to not certainly not have that at this company in our eyes, because we've seen the actions on the part of our executives and what have you over a continuous basis, and the elevated level of sensitivity that this place has shown throughout the years deserves to be commended. There's always work to do. There is no perfect place. Make no mistake about it. But I'm incredibly proud to be a part of the Walt Disney and specifically the ESPN family in that regard. Having said all of that, I'm in a minority, because the reality is there's a vast number of people of African-American descent in the United States of America that feel subjugated. I wouldn't go so far as to say enslaved, but feel subjugated by bosses in corporate America. People that say all the right things when the cameras are rolling, but behind the scenes, they engage in the kind of behavior and the kind of actions and subjugation that they're voiceless. They don't have a voice in that regard, Greeny. Marcus knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so because of that, because of these times that we're living in, what we're seeing is a populace within the United States of America that sees the dramatic shift. And they're so appalled and taken aback by what they see transpiring that they can't hide their vitriol. They're coming out of the dark because they're being forced out of the dark. We as black people have to appreciate the fact that couldn't happen without a vast number of white individuals in our society standing with us and saying, you know what? We see where the hell you coming from. If we didn't see it before, we see it now, and we're with you. And so you have that other segment of the population saying, wait a minute, we losing some of our own here. Some of our own are turning against us and supporting this nonsense. We got to speak up. And as a result, they're coming out of the dark again. I find that a cause for celebration. Doesn't bother me at all. If we at war, say we at war. Let's get it on. I like that.
I'm going to leave it there for the moment. Again, Marty Smith is standing by at Talladega. If there is any further information on the investigation, we will have it for you immediately. Meanwhile, Stephen A. is going to stay with us here for a few more minutes, and we'll get to some football conversation as we go. His feelings about the Dallas Cowboys have been well documented. This should be a very big day in Dallas. We will talk about it and why. And then LeBron and other NBA players have until Wednesday to decide whether or not they're going to play. What should we expect? Woj will answer that question as we continue this hour of Get Up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We continue on Get Up this morning, and our Adam Schefter reporting. Dak Prescott is planning on signing his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender today, which would make him contractually obligated to report to camp on time. The two sides still have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. If they cannot, then there is no further negotiation starting July 16th. He would be playing this season on the franchise tag, and then we go from there. So Stephen A., good enough to spend a little extra time with us this morning in advance of First Take, which comes your way in 44 minutes. We all know how closely connected you are to the Cowboys, Stephen A. What are your thoughts on Dak getting ready to sign that tag today?
Well, I think it's the wise thing for him to do, and I haven't been of that mindset. I've marched with Marcus Spears on this one for quite a long time. For months, I was talking about I wouldn't show up to Dallas Cowboys training camp. I wouldn't talk to Jerry Jones. I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't even wear Dallas Cowboy paraphernalia because I religiously felt like the Dallas Cowboys have disrespected this man. The quarterback position is the most important position in the National Football League. This dude threw for 4,902 yards and 30 touchdowns. And you're going to tell me that this two-time All-Pro who's never missed a game for you deserves to be the last in line to be paid, even though he's playing the most important position when you've taken care of Jalen Smith, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and others. I just think it's egregious. But in the end, here's what it comes down to. You got a $31.4 million franchise tag. You play for it this year. We got to take into account the pandemic as we speak and what's transpiring right now. What are your options? What are your marketable options? The NFL is anticipating potentially losing some money. Certainly, you're going to lose some because you're not going to have fans in attendance in all probability. It's not guaranteed, but that certainly appears to be the case. Advertisers and sponsors, because they're hemorrhaging dough because of how their businesses have been compromised due to the coronavirus pandemic, they're not going to be flooding money into your coffers either, which is part and parcel where you get some of that dough from. So if that's the reality, the bottom line is you got a $31.4 million franchise tag. As a result, if they tried to franchise tag you next year when the cap is expected to be considerably lower, it's going to be at approximately $37 million. A year after that, it's going to be at approximately $50 million. Meanwhile, the country has better footing in terms of, you know, offsetting the catastrophic effect the pandemic COVID-19 has had on this nation and the world. And so as a result of that, that's money in the bank. That is yours. We have to hope and pray that you can stay healthy and you don't get hurt, which is obviously a dicey proposition being an NFL quarterback. But Dak Prescott is a big boy, literally and figuratively. He's been an Iron Man in terms of his reliability. He's never missed a game. He made back page news when he only missed one practice. So I look at it from that standpoint and I say, take the money while you can right now and understand that you have a level of leverage moving forward because of those cap implications and what the Dallas Cowboys simultaneously will be obligated to throw in your direction. I say sign a franchise tag today, do what you have to do, and I don't blame him for making that wise decision.
So for those of you who are not with us in our first hour today, Shefty was on, and he and Marcus, Shefty was basically trying to convince Marcus of all the things that Stephen A. just said, and it felt to me like Swagoo was not buying. Where do we stand now, Marcus Spears?
Because right the hell where I stood when I was talking to Shefty. Listen, I get all of that. And no, I would be an idiot for to say, Dak Prescott, if you're not going to get a long-term deal, sign the tender for $31.4 million based on what you've made previously. And maybe that pressure and maybe that leverage is what he succumbed to. I understand what Stephen A. and Shefty is saying about the cap, the ramifications of COVID and coronavirus, the unwavering times that we're in right now. I mean, the unstable times that we're in. I get that. So I get all of the motivation to sign a new deal. And I mean, sign this franchise tag. With that being said, the bottom line is this. The Dallas Cowboys were either going to be comfortable with taking Andy Dalton in to be a starter, which I think honestly where the leverage was really created, or they were going to figure out how to get a deal done with Dak. Because football doesn't end when coronavirus is over. You still got to have a quarterback. You still got to be in a great position to win the games. You still got to have a guy that that's reliable and you think can carry you to a Super Bowl. Now, if you think that's Andy Dalton, Dallas Cowboys, best to you, roll and don't worry about Dak Prescott. I still feel like Dak had all the leverage possible in order to get this going. But the lack of money that he's made, 31.4, the unstable times, I get it. I still wouldn't have signed it.
Stephen A., can I ask you quickly an unrelated... Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was going to say, don't worry about Marcus. I mean, this is I've taken this young lad under my wing, Greeny. I'm the elder statesman here. He's going to be on First Take with me for 2 hours today after I have the great Dr. Harry Edwards on with me for the first couple of blocks. We understand that Marcus gets a bit emotional and he's dogging in his position, even though he sounded a little bit like Max Kellerman there, waffling just a little bit. But I will bring him over to my fold by 12 noon today, Eastern Standard Time. Marcus Spears will see the light. And he will side with his big brother right here, Stephen A. Smith. You don't have to worry about that. See, Ben, he'll be all right. Give him about 3 hours.
Listen to what Stephen A. just said, right? Listen to what he just said. He has taken me under his wing. He has been a mentor to me, and he has taught me a lot about this business. That's how we know. He damn well know I'm not coming over to his spot because he taught me well.
He's coming over.
So we just going to argue
he's
when
coming
we get
over
there the first time.
He's coming.
And he knows
he's coming over. And Greeny, he hasn't told you.
And the
he hasn't
I
told you this, Greeny.
Yeah.
He sicks the wife on me.
Uh-huh.
He sicks the wife on me. He plays an unfair game because whenever I got him, then the wife steps up and she raises up on me and then I got to stand down because I know better than messing with Mrs. Swaggoo.
Listen,
I can't do that.
We all use whatever leverage we have at our disposal, right? Under any circumstances that come up. Very quickly, Stephen A., while I have you, Bleacher Report put out a bunch of expectations for the season, and they basically said if the Cowboys don't make the NFC Championship game, their season is a disappointment. Do you agree? Do they have to go that far for you to deem their season a success?
Yeah, pretty much so. I agree with that. But you also, I just want them to be careful. Be silent. Don't say stuff too early. Wait just a little bit. You know how I am about Cowboy fans. I want them miserable, their misery to start right around Thanksgiving. And then if it really, really to be cemented by Christmas. Anytime the Cowboy fans' holiday season is ruined, it is pleasure for me. That's what I want to do. When we tip them off a little bit too early, then they might go on that roller coaster ride and Dallas Cowboy fans got a reason to chirp and talk and be the disillusioned, disgusting, nauseating fan base, the worst in American history as far as I'm concerned, that they are. So what I would ask the Bleacher Report as a personal favor to moi, I would ask the Bleacher Report, just hold off on that. They're absolutely right. But we don't need to tell anybody that. Save that until the season starts. Wait till around October. So preferably Halloween. Let everybody get, you know, just get their momentum going. Let the Dallas Cowboy fans chirp and talk and act like they're going to do something. And then right around Thanksgiving time, we start to see that fall. Thanksgiving gets messed up. Then after that, Christmas gets messed up. Bleacher Report, chill. Don't tell them that. Just let it come. Wait. That's all you got to do with Cowboys. Just wait. They won't let you down so long as you keep your mouth shut and just let it happen.
Look at Swaggoo's face. Much more of that coming in 36 minutes when First Take comes your way. Thank
you very much, Stephen A. He knows what he went through last year.
We'll see you at the top of the next hour for First Take, continuing what is going to be a full day of sports here. After we wrap up, First Take comes up next. You heard it there. Marcus is on with Steve today. Then we got Serie A soccer at 1:25. NFL Live will be on ESPN2. At 4, you got 20 minutes of Jalen Jacoby, highly questionable, around the horn. You see the rundown there. Sports Center with the PTI guys at 5, and then cap it off tonight with Scotty Van Pelt at 11 o'clock. Full day of sports here on ESPN. Okay, as we continue, Tom Brady and Gronk have to learn a new offense in Tampa, but that is going to be difficult. Shefty is going to come back and tell you why in just a few moments. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's a new day, new trouble.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We welcome you back to Get Up here on ESPN, and we've lined up our insiders for insight into three sports attempting in different various ways to play during this pandemic. And you see them there. We're going to start with baseball, where the Baseball Players Association decided to postpone voting on the league's 60-game proposal after Commissioner Rob Manfred made some late tweaks to the offer. The players had initially gone back and forth on voting Sunday because of the recent COVID-19 outbreaks. Manfred sent a letter to Tony Clark on Sunday that read, in part, "I really believe we are fighting over an impossibility on games. The earliest we will be ready for players to report is a week from Monday, given the need to relocate teams from Florida. That leaves 66 days to play 60 games. Realistically, that is outside of the envelope now. But this just continues to get more and more aggravating. So here's Jeff Passan. Jeff, sift through everything. What does all of this mean? What should a baseball fan be thinking this morning?
Greeny, are we really sure that baseball does want to come back and play? Because let's remember, it's supposed to be about a week from today when they wanted to start an 82-game bonanza of a season. Here we are, and they have not even reported to spring training yet. The expectation is that today players are going to vote down the 60-game proposal. Weirder things have happened, of course, but as of yesterday, players were almost unanimously against the idea of giving up the postseason and all of the money that comes from it in exchange for just a few extra games. That would lead to Rob Manfred unilaterally implementing a season, as is his right per the March 26th agreement. The problem with that, of course, is all of the animus that has been built up already would continue on for weeks, months, years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the question here, and I can't believe we're still asking it, is this going to happen? Are they going to play? The time has run out. I mean, it's a month ago they should have done this. Is it going to happen?
Greeny, it's incredible. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen at the end of July, days before the NBA is scheduled to come back. And at this point, I think most people around baseball think, yes, some kind of a season is going to happen. But as someone just told me earlier today, a number of COVID tests are expected back today. Remember, you had the outbreak in the Phillies camp. You had various positive tests around the sport. The estimate is about 40 people, both players and club officials, have tested positive. That number could jump. And every time you see that spike in COVID cases, it really ramps up the questions about the viability of a season. Because as the official told me, you get one positive test, all of the protocols around the clubs change.
And look, I can't believe this. It's a week ago now that I talked to Manfred, and we thought that, okay, now they're meeting, they're talking, they're in Arizona, something is going to happen. It's a week later, and literally we're in exactly the same place. So that's awful. Jeff, thank you very much. Well done. It's not your fault that the news that you're covering at this point basically stinks. Let's see if Woj does any better. NBA players have until Wednesday to inform teams whether or not they plan on participating in the bubble restart at Disney's Wide World of Sports in Orlando. However, if you're paying attention to the news, you are aware that coronavirus cases have been surging in Florida, which adds yet another wrinkle to players' decisions. So, Woj, I'll just give it to you as generally as I can. What is the latest as we work our way towards Wednesday when the players will make their final decision?
Greeny, here's a good example. I talked to Victor Oladipo, the all-star guard with the Pacers over the weekend, and he's still uncertain whether he's going to fully commit to the bubble. He's going to return to their camp this week with the Pacers. You know, he's coming off a year rehab on a torn quad tendon in his right knee, and he wants to feel like he's 100%, he's healthy. He's not putting himself at a longer-term risk of re-injury, you know, based on kind of kickstarting the season again here. So he'll go, he'll play through that Wednesday deadline, you know, but at some point he and the Pacers, you know, will talk about whether it's best physically, short-term, long-term, for him to play the season. Lots of players like Oladipo, for a lot of different reasons, Greeny, they may go past this Wednesday deadline beyond the team's initial rosters, and then make decisions based on, you know, a variety of reasons.
Yes. I mean, we have coronavirus concerns. We have injury concerns. We obviously have all the things that are happening right now with social justice. So it's a remarkable moment. Having said, taking all of that into account as the backdrop, it is still the expectation that overwhelmingly most players are going to come back and play. And assuming they can figure out a way to do it mechanically, there will be a restart. Yes?
Yes, Greeny. And overwhelmingly, teams, agents, you know, players themselves, the Players Association, you know, expect to have most all the league's players returning. But they're going to be players who stay home, and for a variety of reasons. And you just listed several of them. Here's one more, Greeny. Long-term contract extension candidates and players who are on the cusp of extensions or free agency this summer. I think some of the defections you see over the next few days or maybe in the next week, you know, they'll be along those lines too financially.
All right, excellent. Woj, thank you. We'll continue to lean on you for this. So we got baseball trying to get things started. You got basketball trying to get things restarted. And then you go to the NFL, where they have had, to some degree, the luxury of time. But now it's becoming the time where they need to start putting their plans into place. And the NFLPA's medical director, who's Dr. Tom Mayer, advised players over the weekend that, quote, in light of the increase in COVID cases in certain states, no players should be engaged in practicing together in private workouts. So, Shefty, and how are these recent spikes impacting the ways that teams are preparing for the start of the season?
What's interesting to me, Greeny, is that in speaking to teams over the weekend, I think they're obviously very concerned about the spike in certain areas. And teams have been worrying about setting up what the NFL has mandated, tiers of access for people. And there is so much work for these teams to be doing in preparation. You take a look at the league mandated tiers that went out. Tier one, you've got to identify a group of people that has access to fields and locker rooms. Tier two, which includes GMs and football operations employees, they can't even go in the locker room. They're not allowed to have contact with certain people under certain scenarios. These tiers spell out essentially what people can and can't do, where they can and can't go, and teams have to submit these list of tiers to the NFL a week before they report to camp. Now, most teams are scheduled to begin training camp July 28th. 26 to 32 teams are scheduled to report to camp July 28th. But everybody is still awaiting further direction from the NFL and the NFLPA as to if and when that is actually going to happen, whether people will be going to camp on time, whether the preseason will be reduced. I am expecting the Hall of Fame game to be canceled, the one in Canton between the Cowboys and Steelers. I do not think that game happens. Again, I think the NFL, as you mentioned, is in a holding pattern, and I think teams are anxious for answers that they haven't gotten so far from the league office.
Yeah, they can do their best to learn from what's happened with the other sports, but everything changes so much, it feels like practically daily, that the you have to be nimble with that stuff. I guess I want to ask you, from the people you talk to, does the sentiment of optimism remain, that despite all of the obstacles, that they will have a season, they will be able to play?
I think it all depends on who you talk to, Greeny. Again, I got a text last Thursday on the day that Dr. Anthony Fauci came out and talked about the fact that he believed that the NFL might have to have a bubble this year, that players couldn't leave. That was a question. There was another person very close to the whole process who said, Adam, the NFL is going to play this year. Book it. Plan it. It's done so much work to get ready for this, and there's going to be a season. But one scenario that's continually come up to me, and again, I think it goes to show how different people approach this virus in different ways. The scenario I've heard from multiple teams now is that there are players who are married with children who take their job seriously. And there are younger players who come in who don't have any dependents, who do what they want at night, go out, clubs, dates, women, whatever it may be. And so there are two different groups of people. And you may have them in meeting rooms, and it's going to create some tension this year with people taking different approaches to how they live their life and how they approach this virus. Yeah. And by the way, again, if you have a situation where right now a player is put on NFI due to the virus, he could lose, the team could withhold 3 weeks of salary. So if you're a veteran in a room with a young player who's not doing the right things and you feel you're at risk, you could imagine how somebody would feel about having 3 weeks of salary in the NFL season jeopardized by some younger player who's not taking it as seriously as the veteran who's a professional.
For sure. There's all that and more. Shefty's piece is up with the different tiers and all the explanation for those who are interested there. Shefty, outstanding. Thank you all, the insiders here, with the very latest as we work our way towards hopefully a restart and a fresh start for all of these sports. Meanwhile, we do have soccer today. Serie A back on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. 1:25 Eastern, it's Lecce taking on Milan. And for all your soccer needs, check out ESPN FC on ESPN Plus every day. Coming up, Dak Prescott's now one of five Cowboys players who make at least $10 million this season. Is anything short of a title game a disappointment? We'll answer that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
We are back on Get Up, and unhappy with his current contract, first-team All-Pro safety Jamal Adams has told the Jets he wants to be traded. The Cowboys are one of seven teams that Adams would reportedly welcome being traded to. Yesterday, as you will see, Adams told a fan he's trying to get traded to Dallas.
What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, Wade?
Hey, you coming to Dallas?
Hey, man, I'm trying, bro.
Well, so that's terrific. So Shefty is with us here. Tim Hasselbeck is back with us and the big swagoo. Shefty, as always, I'll start with you. If the Jets wanted to entertain the possibility of trading Jamal Adams, who clearly wants to be traded, how would that work? What would have to happen?
Well, again, Tim and I were just texting back and forth about this. And keep in mind that Jamal Adams is under contract this year and, again, next year on a fifth-year option. And then they could franchise him. So the Jets really have the control in this particular situation. And the Jets are not interested in trading Jamal Adams right now. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't listen, Greeny, and teams could call them and try to put together packages and offers. And I expect that that will happen. But again, the Jets are just sitting back. They're not saying much of anything because they don't feel like they have to deal him. They control his rights at this particular point in time. And as I said, other teams are plotting and figuring what it might take to try to pry loose Jamal Adams, but the Jets are not interested in listening to that right now. Although I should say 2 years ago at this point in time, the Raiders were saying they wouldn't trade Khalil Mack. And then at the end of the summer, right around Labor Day, sure enough, they dealt him to the Chicago Bears.
Right. He held out. He didn't come in and he sort of forced their hand and they wound up making the deal. Let's see if Jamal Adams is willing to do that. We haven't had a chance to ask your thoughts on this, Tim Hasselbeck. What do you think is the right thing for the Jets to do here? And then what's the right thing for Jamal Adams?
Yeah. Well, like Adam said, we're texting back and forth online. To me, I look at this and I'm like, I don't understand what Jamal Adams thinks he's controlling here. Basically, the team has his rights for the next 3 years. And I'm sure that he's looked around and seen the deals that Eddie Jackson did or the deal that Kevin Byard did and thought, hey, listen, I want to bite this apple now and then I want to get another chance at it later. The difference is those guys weren't first-round draft picks, so you're not talking about the team having a fifth-year option. And so he's kind of in a similar situation, more along the lines of Landon Collins, which was basically he's a year too early for this. Landon Collins basically got traded, you know, on the same timeline. You know, he would have to play this upcoming season. And then a trade happened after that point. So that's why I think, you know, the Jets are doing the right thing by basically saying, look, you go make all the noise you want to make. We don't have to do anything. And I don't really know what kind of leverage Jamal Adams thinks he has.
Marcus, for those of you who were with us an hour ago, Marcus suggested that it's just a bad fit, that for whatever reason, it's sort of like a relationship gone wrong and they need to separate. And I would just ask you again, he's an LSU guy like you, so you know him. Like, is it New York he doesn't like? Is it the franchise? Why do you think he wants, aside from the money piece of this, why is it that he and the Jets need a divorce?
I think it's the franchise. He just doesn't want to be a part of it, G. And obviously, I can try to reach out to him, but I didn't. Because, listen, this is Jamal. This is not new. We already went around this circle with Jamal Adams wanting to get out of New York. Look, the first thing you say is, I want to get a deal. And then you do your PC and you say, no, I'm good here. I want to try to work with these guys. I want to be a Jet. But obviously, Jamal Adams wants to get out of New York. Now, there may be varying reasons. The one thing that I point to and the reason why the Dallas Cowboys keeps coming up is because he's from there. He wants to go back and play at home. He was a star in high school there. So, listen, we could talk about money. We could talk about the Jets' leverage. We could talk all of these things. And I get it from a business standpoint. But at some point, when a player doesn't want to be in the organization, that's going to create more problems than it is solutions. It's just like we had with Jacksonville and escaping my name. But anyway, when guys with Chris trade and they want to get out of a certain place.
Jalen Ramsey.
Don't have nothing to do with money.
Jalen Ramsey is the situation you're talking about. Players, we've seen it. We've all seen it. And Zeke Elliott, who was at the same stage contractually that Jamal Adams is, different position, but the same standard. It's when he famously went to Cabo. And the Cowboys went down and got him, and they gave him his contract. So Shefty, I don't even know what to say. I mean, tell me this isn't going to happen and they can somehow work this thing out, because the Jets are very, very few and far between players of this caliber that we wind up getting, and the thing is falling apart in front of my eyes.
Well, it comes from the fact, I think, largely, that Jamal Adams has wanted that new contract. The Jets have told him that he would get a new contract, and there has been a lack of talk about a new contract. And so maybe a new contract would change that, but short of that, this, again, has the chance to linger well into the summer, Greeny. Hope you enjoy your summer.
Yes, this is just exactly what the Jets need at this point. Meanwhile, he seems to want to go to the Cowboys. Let's talk about the Cowboys. We opened this morning, Shefty, with your reporting that Dak Prescott is planning on signing his exclusive franchise with the Cowboys today. And we were looking at this stuff yesterday. Bleacher Report laid out what would constitute a successful season for each NFL team. And when it came to the Cowboys, because of all the high-priced talent, they said anything short of a trip to the NFC title game would be a failure. It said, according to SpotRack, among the 25 players who make at least $20 million per year, a league-high three of them play for the Cowboys. That's Dak and DeMarcus Lawrence and Amari Cooper. They have five more who make $10 million. In other words, this is a top-heavy team that is in it to win it. Anything significantly short of that would be unpleasant. So, Tim Hasselbeck, I will come to you. Do you believe the Cowboys are a Final Four NFL team? Are they capable of jumping over that bar if that's where the bar is set?
Mm. Listen, they're capable of it, but I think that's fantasy land to say that that is an unsuccessful season. They just fired their head coach. Like, they have a new head coach who doesn't have an off season. So this idea that if you're not in the NFC Championship game, it'll be a disaster, I just think it's flat out wrong. If they, let's say they end up don't win the division because the Philadelphia Eagles do. Let's pretend that that happens. When they win a wild card game and a division round game under a first year head coach with a quarterback that may or may not, you know, have just signed a long-term deal, or like that, to me is not, you know, that's not a failure that whatsoever. I think if they won two playoff games under Mike McCarthy, people would say, see, this is why we fired Jason Garrett. We're heading in the right direction. So I think those lofty expectations are kind of fantasy land.
Well, if they won two playoff games, they would be in the NFC Championship game, which means they would reach that. And the counter to that.
I'm sorry. I thought you said win the NFC Championship.
I get the point you're making.
The point is,
you're saying it should be a little lower because of where they're coming from, which I get. But the other side of that, Swagoo, that I would say is, they fired the coach for a reason. They fired the coach because they think their team is good enough to be in that territory, and they didn't think the coach was the right guy to get them there, which is why I've been saying all along, Marcus, I think there's more pressure on Mike McCarthy than there is on practically anybody in the sport, because they're expecting big things from him immediately.
Absolutely, G. Now, obviously, Tampa Bay got a lot going on down there with their expectations, so I'm not sure if it's more pressure on McCarthy than it is Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and that plan. But with that being said, yes. And look, I have a differing view of this, because I think the NFC Championship is what people will say is attainable for this team. I look at this division, all right? And you got to think about, like, this is historic with the Cowboys. We are just coming off a season where the Philadelphia Eagles won the NFC East with no players. They beat Dallas with no players. Like, legitimately, and not to disrespect those guys or knock those guys. When I say no players, I mean they shouldn't have been able to beat the Cowboys with the caliber of players that they were able to put out there on the field. So that in a way has a lot to do with Dak. That has obviously to do with Jason Garrett and what the expectations of this team were. The money they're spending, the moves that they're – Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe. They brought in Aldon Smith to be another rusher on the other side. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence with his big deal. They may make some more moves. You look offensively at what they did. And I get it. The NFC Championship is a lofty goal. Like, everybody's trying to get there. But this is going to be unforgivable based on what they've done in the past. And that's why I think the Bleacher Report article went there with the NFC.